Both of our first guests have had a lot to say about the Flint water crisis lately. State Senator Jim Ananick of Flint has been among the harshest critics of Governor Snyder, former Flint emergency manager Darnell Early, and the state's response to Flint's water emergency. Yesterday, he announced a plan that he says would speed up remediation of Flint's infrastructure. We also welcome former state treasurer Robert Klein. Mr. Klein served in that position from 2006 to 2010. We'll point out that Michigan's emergency managers report to the treasurer's office. In a piece that appeared a few days ago in the Washington Post, Mr. Klein wrote that the city's water emergency is rooted in a tangled history of revenue-sharing cuts and deindustrialization. Senator Ananick, Robert Klein, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
Jim, you offered a pretty detailed proposal yesterday for paying for removal of damaged Flint infrastructure. And according to you, your press release, this would be at no additional cost to Michigan taxpayers. You found some money here, it appears. Where does it come from and what should it do?
Well, in 2012, we passed some legislation, I think it was relatively bipartisan, to change some auto insurance issues. And there was a loophole, it was a mistake made in the drafting error that basically allows for an auto insurance companies to double count a tax credit. If we fix that loophole, we will have about $80 million a year going forward, and I think in the beginning, until this issue is resolved, we should use that money for replacing lead service lines in my community in Flint that were destroyed by mistakes made by DEQ and the emergency managers. And then afterwards, we can dedicate that to other cities across the state that have similar problems. I think it's important to make sure that we look at infrastructure under the ground as well as the roads that we're trying to fix as well. I mean, it's really important to make sure that these pipes get replaced. I think it's becoming pretty clear that right now the DEQ cannot tell us whether the water is safe or not. We know that there's pregnant women and women that have children, men and women that have children in their homes, and if they have high levels of lead now, we should replace those lines as quickly as possible.
$80 million is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, the budget overall is $54 billion or thereabouts, but still $80 million is not bad. Whose ox gets gored? By taking that $80 million, it's going somewhere now, and you want to redirect it.
Yeah, it's sort of a double credit that auto insurance companies get.
Will the insurance companies resist this move?
Well, most people resist when you take away something that they, especially when they weren't supposed to have it, and nobody noticed until now. But we'll work with them to see if we can find a solution. And I think it's important to fix these problems and make sure that the citizens of my community get the results they need.
You just announced this proposal yesterday. What's the early response been? Have you gotten a response to this?
It's hesitant right now, having some conversations. Another piece and component of the proposal I put forward was to refund water bills. That obviously got the majority of the stories yesterday. The governor had a similar proposal. My numbers, I think I would argue it is the truer cost of the water. The governor's is a step forward. There's no question. The fact that he's even acknowledging that these bills were unfair to have to be paid is definitely a step. And I'll see if we can work to resolve the differences. But I think it's important to make sure that folks that should never have paid for this Flint water since the switch. It seems like that's getting bipartisan support. And there's also quite a bit of bipartisan support to fix the pipes. Now, my proposal is one of many, but I think it's a good way to do it that doesn't raise people's taxes.
We definitely want to bring former state treasurer Robert Klein into this discussion. A piece you wrote that appeared in the Washington Post a couple days ago had the following headline: Rick Snyder isn't the only Michigan leader who abandoned Flint. Tell our listeners why you wrote this piece.
Well, I wrote it because I think we need to put this in broader perspective. I mean, this is the kind of thing that, given the policies we've been adopting over the last couple of decades, was almost predictable. The policies the state has adopted, over the last 20 or 30 years have really set local governments up for failure. We've cut revenue sharing. We've given local governments no ability to raise revenue on their own. There are all kinds of limits, in statute and the Constitution on what local governments can do to raise revenue. And, we've cut, for example, in Flint, they've lost about $54 million in revenue sharing over the last decade that they would have gotten if we had fully funded the revenue sharing program that we have. So we've kind of put our cities into a fiscal straitjacket. They have nowhere to go. And they were hit, of course, by the recession. For example, in Flint, their taxable value in Flint from 2008 to 2012 dropped 43%. And since then, statewide taxable value has been pretty flat. But in Flint, it's gone down another 20%. Mm. Their tax base is about $7,800 per person, and the state average is $26,000. I'm sorry.
Continue.
And I just wanted one more thing. We have more distressed cities than any state in the country, and we also have more restrictions on local revenue raising ability than almost any state in the country.
For our listeners, I'll quote from your piece here, quote, Michigan's combination of deindustrialization and lack of public support for cities created the conditions that allowed Snyder's poor decisions to have such a terrible outcome. Now, you also write, the only realistic long-term solution is increased revenue sharing and consolidating Flint into a metropolitan government with the rest of Genesee County, unquote. Talk to us why those are essential parts of a long-term solution.
Right, right. Well, again, revenue sharing is badly needed because most cities are, you know, I call it in the piece a Hobson's choice. I mean, if they raise taxes to provide public services, people
move
out.
People can't afford. Yeah.
If they don't and they don't have any public services, people still move out. So a strong revenue sharing program is essential, particularly given the kind of, you know, governmental organization we have in Michigan. The second thing is a lot of, you know, cities in this country do have metropolitan government, Nashville, Indianapolis, Miami-Dade, a number of others. And those are all pretty healthy cities. I know Governor Milliken, I might have mentioned in that piece back in the 70s, recommended a kind of a tax-based sharing program where commercial industrial growth would be shared in the whole region. It wouldn't have regionalized government, but that would have been one step. Now, I know that's not going to happen, but cities like Flint and Detroit, with their tax base, there's nowhere to go.
Jim Ananick, how would you feel about consolidating Flint's municipal government with Genesee County?
Well, you know, I mean, the treasurer, the former treasurer, brings up a lot of important points. You know, I got to be honest with you right now, and it's not a disagreement by any means. It's just I'm so focused on having to address this current crisis that the long term issues that we're going to be looking at, I'm going to have to wait on those. And I think the conversation is extremely important because we were talking before we came on the show, and there really is no urban policy really in the country, but definitely not in Michigan. And we need to have those serious conversations because, as the treasurer mentioned, $54 million in lost revenue sharing. You know, the city's basically, my city has three forms of major, you know, revenue sharing, property taxes, and city income tax, all of which are down. The revenue sharing, which is a product of the state, you know, we have a $1 billion surplus and revenue sharing is down $54 million. It's an extremely important part of the problem when it comes to the long term. But I got to work on the. It's one of those times where I'm kind of a guy
Understood.
Trying to put a finger in a dam trying to fix a problem.
When you're up to your neck in rattlesnakes, or however that saying goes.
You cut the head of the closest one off. That's exactly the saying.
Right.
Yeah, one of the governor's task force members, Dr. Reynolds, has said that a number of times because, yes, there's, you know, he's referring to, you know, that some of the state folks have talked about lead and paint and things like that, and he's like, we're talking about lead and water, and there's been a lot of attempts to try to spin this story, and I think we got to stay focused. And this is not what the treasurer is doing by any means, but other folks have tried to blame other folks, and this is really about failings of state government in this particular crisis, and we got to fix it. And the conversations about the long term is really important.
One of the big problems, of course, is now we've been really basically downsizing government for the last couple of decades. State employment is down 20%. Since 2001, and the Department of Environmental Quality, their employment is down 25%. I mean, we are, and the general fund spending is down, adjusted for inflation is down 25%. So, I mean, we're taking resources away that we need to use for cities and school districts. I mean, our school districts are also some of the most distressed in the country. Mm-hmm. Moody's bond rating service recently came out and said, as a group, our school districts have the lowest bond rating of any public sector institutions in the country.
Robert Klein is a former treasurer for the state of Michigan from 2006 to 2010. Jim Ananick is the state senator from Flint. We're talking about emergency manager laws and Flint's challenges moving forward politically. Let's get back to the politics of the proposal you announced yesterday, Senator Ananick. Is part of your challenge here to get the governor on board? Have you heard from the governor's office with regard to the plan you announced yesterday? Because it appears part of this issue may be to try to get the governor to persuade more people in the legislature to move on this. Is that relevant here?
Yeah, of course. No question about it. I mean, the governor has suggested he is not at this time interested in removing pipe. But I think you talk to folks in the legislature, you've seen, you know, Candace Miller, the Republican congresswoman, said she's proposing $1 billion. The attorney general said you shouldn't have to pay for water you can't drink. I think there's becoming a momentum around, especially removing pipe, that we know is causing a lot of problems, going to cause problems in the future. We can do a study as we're removing pipe, right? There doesn't have to be one. They don't have to be one or the other. So I'm going to continue to try to get the governor on board. I mean, I can tell you for 5 or 6 months, the governor initially reaction was just switching back to Detroit. And, you know, I think some of the pressure we put on him and other folks have put on him has moved him to the point now where he's having these conversations. And I think it's important to note that the $30 million that the governor is proposing for the refund of the water is definitely a start. It's a good part of the conversation, but it's basically putting the governor and the mayor, putting me in the middle of the governor and the mayor. The city, you know, has a cash flow issue. We need to make sure we refund the citizens all the money back that they need. Cracking the door open on this issue and not fully opening it up and fixing the problem is just going to sort of exacerbate the issues that we're dealing with. So I'm going to continue to try to push and work together when we can. But I think it's important that we really solve the problem as opposed to we got into this problem because emergency managers were penny wise, pound foolish, and we can't have a solution that's the same way.
Why do you think Detroit was able to avoid lead contamination and Flint was not? Why would a city as challenged as Detroit manage to sidestep this issue when Flint wasn't?
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear when you look at the issue. If you don't mind, I'll start with the first. I mean, there was a water source change, which is important, right? I mean, we were getting treated water from Detroit, so the pipes were lead before, right? They didn't. No one added lead pipes, so. The problem is it's pretty simple. I mean, the Department of Environmental Quality dropped the ball, and the emergency manager, in an effort to save money, switched water sources and then did not put the corrosion control in place. That's all that happened. They chipped down years of corrosive control. It creates a barrier that protects the pipes, protects the lead from getting into the water. The water was so corrosive, and without the corrosion control, it took 15 years off the pipes, and lead started leaching into the water. I mean, that's just what happened, unfortunately. And now, you know, now citizens are having to deal with lead in their water and a complete fear that they're never going to be able to drink from their faucet again.
Robert Klein, when you were the state treasurer, the Michigan did have an emergency manager law.
That's correct.
But I want to ask you to look forward. How should Michigan respond? How should it intervene? What role should it have in cases of obvious financial emergencies at municipalities and school districts?
Right. Well, first of all, we need to do things to prevent them in the first place. I mean, the state has caused them, as I said before. So basically, what we need to do is, you know, and Jim mentioned, you know, we need an urban policy.
Address the root cause.
We need to address the root causes. But if you're going to, you probably need some kind of a program. But when I was state treasurer, I think I mentioned in the piece, we never forced an emergency manager on any city. Or jurisdiction. In every case, there was a request from either the mayor, the city manager, in one case, a county treasurer. And then we would look into the situation. And if it looked like, you know, that there was mismanagement or corruption, we would probably appoint an emergency manager. But if it was a situation where their tax base was just so low that, you know, an emergency manager was not going to do any good.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that before. The same communities have had several emergency managers. It may help for a short time, but then they're just back into the same situation when they don't have a tax base.
Jim Ananick, you've been critical of the Snyder administration for seeking out others to blame, like the EPA. Yet it's become known the EPA knew about some of these problems in April of last year and apparently apparently kept quiet.
Well, that's not really completely accurate. I mean, individuals from the EPA were telling them they needed corrosion control. They were telling them over and over again. Now, what that Director Cray is saying when he was in his testimony was basically, I'm summarizing, and he may not agree with my assessment, but he's basically saying, EPA, you didn't stop us from being incompetent and not doing our jobs quick enough, because he's questioning a legal opinion which that they were requesting because they wanted a standard lower than what the current lead and copper rule asked for. So they wanted to have a lesser standard, and the EPA, and there's argument. I mean, you have some officials that definitely had some wrongdoing. The Region 5 administrator who resigned has some culpability, but there was a number of people telling them over and over again that there was problems. I mean, they had an internal memo from Miguel de Torres, and they chose to ignore it. And I think that's important to note. I mean, there are folks that have some issues and at different levels, but it's in large part the Treasurer's Department through the Emergency Manager, the Department of Environmental Quality, who exercises primacy in the state. They've chose to take the federal laws and say that we can implement them, and to blame them for not coming in soon enough to tell them they're screwing up is a bit of a disingenuous comment to make.
Well, let's close on okay. one more quick question. We're just about out of time here. Jim, what do you say to people, including some Democrats that I've spoken with, who say that Rick Snyder, for whatever culpability he may have in this, is still the guy to lead the effort to make this right? He's just too competent, and he's too eager at this point to fix this, to show him the door.
So you're asking me if he should be shown the door?
What do you say to people which includes some Democrats, that Rick Snyder is too competent and too passionate about solving this problem that he shouldn't be allowed to try to address this?
Oh, no. I mean, I've said from the beginning, I have not called for his resignation or for the other things. I want him to step up and solve this problem and work with me and others to find the solution to this. There's no question about that. I think it's his responsibility to do that.
Any closing thoughts, Robert Klein?
Yeah, Mark, you know, the discouraging thing is that we've adopted policies that are going to make things even worse. First of all, I know the personal property tax is being phased out over the next decade or so, and the state's going to pick up the tab. That's going to be another $400 or $500 million. The transportation funding package, it includes $600 million that's going to come out of the general fund in a few years. Plus, starting in 2021, the income tax is going to be slowly phased out. If the phase out of the income tax had been in effect in 2015, we'd have lost $550 million from the general fund. So basically, they're completely deinvesting, you know, in government in this state. And these kind of problems are going to keep popping up, maybe not something like, you know, the Flint water situation, but other kinds of serious problems.
We want to thank both of our guests for carving out precious time here to join us today. Robert Klein is the former state treasurer. Jim Ananick is the state senator from Flint. Stay
Thanks.
In touch, both of you. Thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.